I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4 tonight. My message tonight I entitled The Beauty of Fellowship. The Beauty of Fellowship. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4. And I want to read verses 9 through 12. Notice with me what it says. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let us pray tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you tonight for this marvelous thing that we call fellowship. I pray that we might be able to see its beauty, its marvel. We might understand its great purpose in our lives. And truly our fellowship with you and with others might be very, very sweet. We pray for your blessing in these moments, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The term fellowship, especially for Baptists, is often thought of in terms of a meal. And so we talk about having fellowship dinners and potlucks and all of those kinds of things. And really, that's not a bad thing whatsoever. Matter of fact, it's interesting when you go back to the Old Testament that many, if not most, of the sacrifices and, of course, the feasts, they were surrounded with meals. And there seemed to be something as people would participate in things and eat together. It's been my own personal conviction that a family must eat together to experience proper fellowship. There's just something about getting around a table together, having a meal together, and conversing about who knows what. And if you ever sat at a table with four boys, you would know it always got around to some kind of bodily functions, but it was always interesting to hear the different things. I remember there was one joke that was told almost every night at the dinner table for a long time, and it was, how do you catch a squirrel? To climb a tree and act like a nut. And no matter how many times it was told, they would laugh and so forth. But it was a good time. We enjoyed that so much. One of the things I found during the teenage years was that they would bring friends over who had never had that kind of experience with their families. And it was absolutely amazing to them to sit down and to eat together. And there's something about that. But I think fellowship is more than a meal together. There is something beautiful about it that is just not comparable to anything else. Whenever we are absent one from another, it is this fellowship that I believe is direly missed. I could see it on your faces tonight as you come in. Many have not seen each other for a couple of weeks, myself included. And we look and we're just so excited to see faces. And we don't have to have great remarks. We don't have to have a whole lot of wisdom or whatever. But just being there is such a marvelous thing. And so it's very, very much missed. And I realize we get together and sometimes we talk about some of the most stupid, idiotic things. But nonetheless, we're talking one with another. And there's some good things, of course, from that. Now, as we compare scriptures, there's something that comes to me, and that is the definition of fellowship is basically one who is walking with God. Think about clear back in the Garden of Eden. God generated his fellowship with man by walking in the garden in the cool of the day. We find that in Genesis 3:8. We find that God speaks about Enoch and then Noah, and he says these words, Genesis 5:24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so here's a walking and a taking. In other words, great, marvelous fellowship. It tells us in 6:9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. It's God's desire that we walk with Him. It's God's desire that He might dwell among us. We find that in Exodus 29:45 when He says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. That was His desire. We find from the book of Exodus 26 that the reason for the building of the tabernacle was for that very purpose. But one thing that I have learned is that if there's not a walk, our words of fellowship become very empty. Consider what John wrote. 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, you know what two next words are? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking with God causes a fellowship, by the way, not just with Him, but with one another, if I understand that text correctly. And so you and I tonight have this beautiful, marvelous thing called fellowship, whereby we can get together and rehearse the things of God, the things that He's done in our lives, some of the historical things or hysterical things that we have had happen to us in the days gone by, and just kind of catch up on some things. I'll tell you what, there's a group of people in most churches that have a lot of fellowship. I mean, if they will talk and talk and talk and talk, and they're females and they're generally teenagers. And you wonder if you could ever shut them up. And the rest of God's people could say, amen. But seriously, it's great that they have that kind of desire, that kind of will to be able to communicate one with another. Well, I think our text here tonight gives us the beauty and the benefit of fellowship. This is not new to you, but I just want us tonight just to gain some things for our soul and stop and think about what we have really been missing the last 3-4 months. We've had some. I've had the privilege to have some stop by that had not been in church. We had church for quite some time. We didn't have it some, of course, the last 2 weeks. And I miss being with God's people. And there's just a beauty about it. There's a benefit to it as well. I believe one of the reasons is we are social creatures. God didn't put us in the Garden of Eden to be a hermit. Matter of fact, He put us there and said, be fruitful and multiply. In other words, He needs other people. And people need other people, I should say. And God wants that fellowship with people as well. And we're social creatures. He calls us sheep. Sheep are a social animal. They congregate in flocks and they herd together. You don't find them off by themselves unless they've somehow gotten themselves lost, and then they're in very dire condition. And of course, we find, as we look here in these texts, that two are always better than one. And there's a reason for that, is because they can accomplish more. I was thinking today about if you walk right straight out, and if you look up at the top, there's a street light up there. And years ago, I had a 28-foot ladder, and I decided to one afternoon to take that thing up, put it on my shoulder, and take it up, somehow to attach it. I'm not sure how in the world I ever did that. I was at the very end of that ladder. I had but one step farther to go, holding that thing in place over my head and trying to get that so it would stay there and we could have light from that spot. The only better thing at that time than now is if I would have fallen. I don't believe there was cement there at that time, but nonetheless, that's a good fall. And I had a lot of problem with that. And I thought about that since, why didn't I wait to find somebody to help me? It would have been so simple to have somebody crawl up on the roof on the peak and reach down and hold that lamp while I screwed the screws in and got it into place. I could have finished it twice as fast, if not even better than that, and certainly a whole lot safer. My legs wouldn't have wobbled near as much. You see, God has made us as people that come together because we can accomplish more with two. That's why God has people get married. Marriage is what? Two individuals coming together and can accomplish a great deal more. And through them, why families are built and marvelous things take place. So we're social creatures. I don't know anybody that's not. I believe there's something else we look at when we consider these verses here, and that is this: we bear each other's burdens. Matter of fact, I believe there's three illustrations that are here that basically verify this truth. Look at verse 10 with me, first of all. It says, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." What Life Alert could do for advertisement just to quote that verse. When we fall, it's not if we're going to fall. We have somebody there to help us up. And all of us, and we're not necessarily talking about a physical fall, but there's, you know, we fall sometimes mentally, we fall emotionally, and we need somebody to come along and to pick us up. And so we bear each other's burdens. How do we do it? We lift each other up. We need each other in this regard. By the way, what we're looking at here is really one of the great truths of having a church. It's to what? Help each other up. It's not to knock each other down. It's not to tear each other apart, but to build each other up. I notice another thing. Notice verse 11. It says again, "If two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone?" Shared warmth wards off the cold. I read years ago about a man who was out in the wilderness back in the frontier days of our West, and it had gotten extremely cold. And his coat and everything, it was blowing terrible out, and he was starting to freeze. And by chance he came upon a buffalo, and he was able to kill the buffalo, and he cut it open and crawled inside of it to get enough warmth not to freeze. And that's a tremendous illustration of shared warmth. By the way, in that case, one had to die for another to live. This old world of ours is cold, and many times it's more than we can bear by ourselves. And we need the warmth of other individuals. There's just something about having, can I put it this way, a warm body next to us. Knowing they're there going through with us. We bear each other's burdens. And then you notice verse number 12. And in this verse it says, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And he's talking about our strength here as it comes in pairs and with the threefold cord, could we say in groups. There's something marvelous about that. And you and I, as we twine our lives together, and I use the word twine for a reason, we find ourselves stronger as a result of it. And it comes as we intertwine one with another. There's something about strength with numbers. What's fellowship? Well, I don't know. It's beautiful. It's beneficial because of the things we look at in these verses. But there's a thought that comes to me with fellowship. And I find it on the road to Emmaus. The two disciples are walking down the road, and they're upset. They're discouraged. And Jesus comes upon them. And as they go down the road, he talks with them. And their fellowship is sweet. They don't know who he is until they finally get to an inn and he breaks bread with them. And how excited they are. They have been walking with Jesus. What's fellowship? It's walking with the Lord. It's listening to Him. It's talking to Him. It's allowing Him to be the center of our lives. Thank God for fellowship with God's people, but fellowship with God is even greater. And we have a marvelous privilege to have fellowship with Him. That's His desire. That's His longing for us. Matter of fact, I find that God's taken us to heaven for that very reason. That we might have fellowship with Him throughout all of eternity. Praise God for a God like this. Let's take a few moments and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You tonight for this marvelous, beautiful privilege of fellowship. Lord, I thank You that through the years I've had that privilege amongst the peoples of Open Door Baptist Church. I thank You, O God, for the camaraderie, for the love. I thank You for the privilege that we can walk hand in hand, arm in arm. We could walk step by step and see Your marvelous hand at work. Lord, how beautiful it is to have that kind of fellowship, one with another and with You, simply by walking with You. So, Lord, I pray You teach us to walk with You. Help us to understand what that really means, and that our fellowship with You then might be very, very sweet. And when that fellowship is sweet, how it bubbles over in fellowship amongst Your people. We pray for Your blessings in the moments to follow, and we give You praise and thanks in Christ's name. Amen.